meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey, welcome everyone. God bless you for tuning into the Winds of Change. It's Wednesday, so this is Brain Wrinkling Wednesday with Father Tom Coyes. And once again, I guarantee I'm going to wrinkle your brain, because this topic has wrinkled my brain. And proud to say that everything that wrinkles my brain wrinkles your brains. You might be a lot more astute about a particular topic than I am, and I'm most willing to admit that maybe some of you, especially if you're into science,
you're going to need a bigger boat.
Cosmology, especially if you're into questions of the origins of the universe, the size of the universe, and most particularly, and this is what's going to be the brain wrinkling aspect of today, is Copernicus still right, or I'm sorry. I thought I had it on no phone call. Sorry about that. Okay. Copernicus, obviously, before Galileo, was the scientist with his little telescope, posited that the Earth goes around the sun, right? Of course, we remember that. We remember all the trouble that Galileo got in trouble with, who came after Copernicus, and because he was insisting. He got in trouble with the church, not because he was insisting that the earth went around the sun, because Copernicus said that. It's very important to remember that Galileo got in trouble with the church because he said the Bible cannot be taken as the word of God, plain and simple, especially when the Protestants were accusing Catholics of saying pretty much the same thing. In other words, Protestants were saying the Bible's the only word of God, and Catholics don't believe that. Catholics had to defend themselves, saying, yes, of course we believe the Bible is the word of God. Well, in the process of fighting over whether the Bible is the word of God, whether it's the only word of God or part of the word of God, got messed up in the amazing scientific questions revolving around the universe. So today, let's start with this here. Do you remember this?
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise.
This is the old one, right?
Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
I still remember making models of the Enterprise. Okay, enough of that. I need to wrinkle your brain with a topic here that's wrinkling my brain because there is a movie out called The Principal. Saw it a number of years ago, and I was looking at it again, and the question that these cosmologists are asking is, maybe the Earth is the center of the universe. How can you possibly say that? Because Copernicus and Galileo have been proven right, and no one's going to question that. As a matter of fact, if I can go through my notes here a little bit with you, you will find out that Einstein's theory of relativity was born out of a wrastling with that question. Answer it in one way.
You just wrinkled my brain, man.
That's plenty of brain. No, I just began to wrinkle your brain. This is gonna blow your mind. So, anyways, you can watch that movie. You can buy it for $4 or $5 or whatever dollars, depending on what movie platform you like to look at. But it's also available on YouTube, I believe. So here's what the cosmologists and the scientists involved. Maybe you might know some of these names: Dr. Jules Barber, Bernard Carr, Max Tegmark, John Bile, George Ellis, Ron Hatch, and others. Anyways, if you're a big scientist, stargazing kind of cosmologist, you might know some of those names. For most of us lay people, who played right field back in the 50s on the Cleveland Indians? Now, there are some people who probably can answer that question, but I'm not one of them. Anyways, the scientists and cosmologists that are into all of this, they spend their whole life on it. So I'm perfectly willing to say I'm swimming in an ocean that I'm unfamiliar with. I'm going where no brave priest who's kind of takes pride in his moral philosophy and theology expertise. How to tackle cosmology is something quite other. But that's what a curious mind is. That's what a Catholic is always interested in, topics that interest them. And this one interests me. So is Copernicus right? And especially if the Earth does go around the sun, and we kind of know the location of the Earth in the Milky Way, our galaxy, we're not in the middle of the Milky Way. How could you possibly think that the Earth is in the center of the universe? Well, cosmology, there are many unanswered questions. I want to at least share some of those with you, because even the more atheistic secular cosmologists,
wow,
would,
you just wrinkled my brain.
There's more brain wrinkling. Even the more secular ones who would loathe to accept the fact that the Earth is the center of the universe, they say there's questions that they can't answer. There's questions that they can't answer, and if the phenomenon can be interpreted to explain the phenomenon is explainable if you posit the Earth in the center of the universe, huh? How do we get to that? And of course, there are more, shall we say, open-minded cosmologists who are not afraid to say that God created the universe out of nothing, and in the middle of that universe sits the Earth on which we inhabit. They would say, you can't publish this. If you do, you ruin your reputation in all the higher areas of academic scholarship. Yep. So let's start with, this could be a series of 10 shows, but we'll see where it goes. Let's start with something called cosmic microwave background mapping. All right. Cosmic microwave background mapping. Scientists shoot light out, or they analyze the light that comes into their telescopes, and light has different characteristics, and it has often put on a screen, on a graph, on a piece of paper by color, and they're by analyzing those different colors, the cosmic microwave background mapping is something that they do to try to find the oldest light in the universe. Isn't that something? What are you up to today? Well, I'm an antique specialist, and I'm looking for a nice antique clock for above my fireplace. Well, these cosmologists are antiquers. They're trying to locate the oldest light in the universe. So I guess with this cosmic microwave background mapping, they think they have a sense of that. Now, here's one of the crises that they're coming up with. If you point your telescope in any direction in the sky, from any place on the planet Earth, you begin to find that the oldest light in the universe is kind of, it's equidistant from the Earth, whichever way you point. In other words, if you're standing on the North Pole and you soak in some light rays from above you, and you find, there's really old light, 10 trillion light years away, something of the sort. You go to the equator and you point your telescope straight up, and you see some old light up out that direction. Anyways, I'm oversimplifying it here, but for my brain, this topic needs oversimplification, or else we just say these guys are crazy and you don't even bother. But I want to bother because there's such an interesting question involved in it. Is the Earth in the center of the universe, or do we hold no special place in the universe? Of course, atheist people like to think that there is no special place in the universe, that us human beings, and they would like to think that there's got to be lots and lots of other planets like ours out there, lots and lots of other creatures, humanoid or otherwise, you know, the whole Star Wars, landing on a different planet and finding Jabba the Hutt or something of the sort, different kind of beings, different kind of persons.
You don't need to see his identification.
We don't need to see his identification.
And these aren't the droids you're looking for.
These aren't the droids we're looking for.
He can go about his business.
You can go about your business.
Move along.
Move along.
Move along.
Move along.
All right, that's pretty good, Nick, there, for a Star Wars reference. Though that particular clip is especially good to describe the Jedi mind trick. The Jedi mind trick is putting a thought in someone else's mind that isn't true, but your power over them makes them believe it. Now, to take that idea and apply to the Copernican Revolution, the Earth is not the center. Perhaps Copernicus was using the Jedi mind trick, not in any malicious way. For sure, he was observing his observable data. As a matter of fact, one of the things that Galileo or maybe it was Copernicus, one of the two, one of the big reasons why they started positing, well, wait a minute, maybe the sun doesn't go around the Earth. It's because they discovered that Jupiter has moons. And that's not that far-fetched. You don't need that powerful of a telescope to discover. On a clear night, last summer, I think it was, I looked up at Saturn and could easily see the rings, you know, which is kind of cool. So anyways, Galileo, Copernicus, maybe both of them, they discovered that Jupiter has moons. So they saw little planets going around the big mother planet. And that obviously makes them think, well, Earth is a small body compared to the sun. So Earth must go around the sun, just like the moons of Jupiter are going around Jupiter. Not a bad guess, not a bad hypothesis, and you can even say that it's true that the Earth is going around the sun. And you could, however, you got to explain other phenomenon. And that's why many cosmologists are saying that there's a crisis in cosmology, because you discover certain things with new instruments, more powerful telescopes, and more powerful tools of analyzing the light spectrums and the curvature of space, these kinds of things. Anyways, I think we'll take our first break here, and I got to pull my mind back together again to see where's going to be my next step. it's something I got to confess is I find this topic very intriguing, but either way, I don't find it's going to give me a crisis of faith. I believed in the Copernican revolution. I believed that the Earth goes around the sun most of my life, and I've never believed that the Earth is the center of the universe just yet. I haven't really thought about it that much, but if I find out that the Earth is not the center of the universe, it's not going to cause a crisis of faith. But if it was discovered that the Earth is the center of the universe, it would sure strengthen my faith, and it especially because it would call into question all those who question faith. People who question faith like to use science as the antidote to faith. And if it were really discovered in a kind of provable way that the Earth is in the center of the universe, that would strengthen my faith and lessen my faith in the critics of the faith. Because you might say, I don't really believe the atheistic scientists, but maybe they got a point here or there. You know, a blind pig can always find an acorn, as they say. And so maybe they're wrong about the existence of God, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're wrong about the size of the universe, the place of the galaxies, et cetera, the Big Bang or no Big Bang. We've got to get to that because there's another big question mark that they come up with that I have to share with you. From this, I'm taking a lot of these notes from this, there's a very interesting movie. It came out back like in 2014, I think it was, called The Principle. So check that out. And we'll be right back. I hope I'm wrinkling your brain a little bit, and I hope I'm going to build up your faith a little bit. And if you're wobbling in the faith and you're thinking of accepting the atheistic interpretation of the universe and the world, then I want to weaken your faith in those false prophets, those using their Jedi mind trick on us. Okay, I'm Father Tom Coyce, guest host on The Winds of Change. WNDZ AM 750.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststandschicago.org. ststandschicago.org.
I'm Father Tom Coys, and you are listening to The Winds of Change.
Here is an update on the Fulton Sheen petition.
We Catholics stand just inches from the goal line to have the saint we desperately need now, Venerable Fulton Sheen, publicly declared blessed. Yet new obstacles keep arising to delay this from happening. The Diocese of Peoria is now requiring the unanimous support of the U.S. bishops behind the beatification of Fulton Sheen before a new date is set for the ceremonial mass. This has never been necessary in the Church's history. The Fulton Sheen Movement's petition drive to set a new date soon for Sheen's beatification mass now has 10,000 Catholics from around the world clamoring for this. We need this voice magnified by hundreds of thousands more Catholics. And you can help us do that. Take action. Go to FultonSheenMovement.com and sign the petition and share it everywhere, because everyone agrees we need Blessed Fulton Sheen now more than ever.
Bye now, and God love you.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. I'm trying to wrinkle your brain here because there's a crisis in cosmology these days that is worth our discussion as religious people, because there, especially with great, powerful telescopes peering out into space from things called like satellites and that are completely clear of light pollution and all that stuff, from the Hubble telescope. It's amazing. I'm sure many of you have seen incredible photographs taken from those kind of high-powered telescopes. Anyways, not only do they produce amazing pictures, but they bring up great questions, because the cosmologists and physicists are constantly trying to answer basic questions. How did the universe begin? How old is the universe? Was there a Big Bang? Is it infinite? Obviously, if it's proven that the universe is infinite, then you don't need a creator. Though Thomas Aquinas, I must say, left that stone not unturned, but he did turn over that stone. That is to say that Thomas Aquinas believed that the universe did have a beginning, but he said, even if it was discovered that the universe always was, that doesn't prove God didn't exist, because you could still ask the question, how is it there? Is it, if it's there for all eternity, you could still say it needs a creator. And we believe in a God that's eternal, so God's eternal being has a co-eternal creature called the universe. Anyway, Thomas Aquinas didn't believe that, but he said that to discover that the universe is eternal doesn't disprove the existence of God. It's a good thing to remember. But back to Galileo and Newton. There was another fellow back in the 1600s, or that got in trouble. And again, he got in trouble for a number of reasons, but he's, any of the secular scientists would really want to have everyone stop believing in the Catholic Church, because the Catholic Church burned this guy at the stake. His name was Giordano Bruno. Bruno, we'll just call him Bruno for short. He was believed in Galileo. He was a student of Galileo, and he tried, when Galileo sort of recanted on his deathbed, his rejection of what he believed, Bruno tried to convince him, no, recant your recantation. You can't let those Catholic hierarchs win the day. We've got to prove that the Earth is not the center of the universe. He unfortunately got into trouble because, like so often, like Galileo, they not only made scientific statements that, in a lot of ways, we could say were not the problem, but they made theological, philosophical statements that were deeply troublesome to our faith and what we believe, because Bruno, in saying that we got to prove that the Earth is not the center of the universe, we then have to believe we are not special in the universe. We have no special role. We have no special place. We are just not special. And of course, believing that we are created and made in God's image is something special. I've never taken my being created in God's image to be dependent on whether the Earth is the center of the universe or not. But you could see how that could shake the person's faith. So let's go a little bit farther in the history of science and get to Isaac Newton, right? Isaac Newton is famous for his work Principium Mathematicum, the principles of math, and he uses those to try to come up with laws of gravity. Now, I'm not an expert in this at all, but I know what gravity is, and I know what no gravity is. That's pretty much basic. We know that on Earth there is gravity. You drop a rock and it falls. Of course, you remember Newton's big experiment of dropping the different weighted balls off the Tower of Pisa, right? And they fall at the same speed. He was making his calculations about gravity like that. And we know what no gravity is when we're away from the Earth in space. You know that a 10-pound ball can be tossed around like a feather, or that people float in spacecrafts like we always see on the news and what have you. There's another sense to that where something becomes, where gravity seems to be sustained or something. I think of this so often when you load up a pickup truck or any truck with stuff and you don't tie it down, it could be as heavy as you want. And if you're driving that truck, that flatbed truck with a 1-ton piece of machinery on it, and you're only going slow, you don't have to tie it down very much, do you? That's going to stay on the flatbed, go around. But increase the speed of that truck and go over some bumps, and that 1-ton piece of machinery could go flying off your flatbed if it's not anchored down, right? So that's the common experiences we have with the laws of gravity, right? And so that's very dangerous. So, and we also could probably come as very secular mathematicians and physicists, as I readily admit I am, no great expert in this, but you could see that the astronauts walking across the moon were able to jump higher, the gravity was less, and obviously, even in the simplest understanding of the laws of gravity, because the moon is so much smaller, right? The moon is smaller, the Earth is bigger, so there's more gravitational pull. You're heavier on Earth than you are on the moon. And then if you went to Jupiter, which is bigger than the Earth, you would weigh 10 times as much, or however heavier you would be. So obviously these laws of gravity have to do with mass. Mass creates this kind of power, and that's where we're going to get into the question of the Earth being in the center of the universe, because you could say the laws of gravity are going to act throughout the universe like they act on Earth versus the moon. Are you following me still? And so here's another little, I got to check my notes here. Boy, I can't go through this topic without looking at my notes. Newton's laws of gravity have produced, neither the Earth or the Sun is the center. Both Earth and Sun are revolving around the center of mass. So there's this new theory, this new possibility that smaller and larger bodies go around the center of mass the same way. Okay, so if obviously the moon goes around the Earth, right? Gonna follow me, because the moon is smaller than the Earth. The Earth goes around the Sun because the Earth is smaller than the Sun. But big and small bodies would go, if there is a center of mass, then the big and small bodies both would go around the center of that mass. How can I try to pull this one off? How can I? If the Earth were the center of the universe, then the Sun could go around it as well as the moon going around the Earth. And then you'd have to posit, then all the other galaxies in the universe are somehow swirling around the Earth and our position in the galaxy, because we're the center of mass. And yet you might say, but in order for something to be the center of mass, it would have to be the biggest body in space, right? In the universe, right? But that's not at all true. If you look at the field of rotating stars, okay, again, going back to my little example of taking your telescope and looking at the universe up in the sky, up on the North Pole, the South Pole, the equator, both on the Eastern Hemisphere and the Western Hemisphere, whatever, okay? If you're looking up, you will see that 99.99% of small bodies do rotate around larger bodies. So you look at the galaxies and there's a little planet, and look at it, has satellites, it has,
wow.
Or you see a star, they're going,
you just wrinkled my brain, man.
Going around its star just like our planets are going around our star. So usually the smaller does rotate around the larger. Why? Because of the laws of gravity. Mass influences that pull. If you got a big mass, it's going to have a big pull. Okay, but scientists realized that there would be one place where the size of the planet doesn't matter. If that planet were at the center of the whole total of mass in the universe, could that be the Earth? It certainly could be. Okay, I gotta review these beautiful little notes I got from. I'm taking these notes from a very interesting movie called The Principal. Try to find it and watch it, and you gotta watch it about four times in order to understand about 10% of it. Unless you're a real astrophysicist and or cosmologists. Okay, so let's take our next break. Okay, Nick, we'll take our break now, and we'll come back, and I'll try to. We got to get to things called the red shift. We got to get to things like dark matter. Oh gosh, there's too much brain wrinkling to come. Anyways, I'm Father Tom Coyes, guest host on The Winds of Change, and you are listening to an AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka, the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, is open 24 hours a day, 7 days per week, for adoration of the Blessed Sacrament in the iconic monstrance. The Blessed Sacrament is reposed during the celebration of Mass and during special events. St. Stan's doors are always open for adoration. Come anytime, day or night. St. Stan's is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, right off the Kennedy. Visit ststanschurch.org.
We are the students of St. Stan's Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststanschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening to The Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located 1 block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
Hey, welcome back. Oh, I can't emphasize the beauty of that. July 9th conference at Father Loya's Byzantine Catholic Parish in Homer Glen. What a great influence Bishop Fulton Sheehan was. He's touched my heart, and I'm sure many, many of yours. So unpause the cause. That's a great little phrase. Okay, I'm back to brain wrinkling. This is certainly wrinkling my brain. As I said, I don't find cosmological questions that troubling for my faith. I don't. A lot of people do, I guess. It kind of provides. Here, I'll make a stab at it. This. Why do some scientific discoveries or principles or hypotheses help people stay away from the church? they never pushed me away from the church. I could contemplate them. But partly it's because you're. All scientific theories and experiments and everything are dealing with the material universe, material world, and to discover a new chemical element, to discover a new galaxy, to discover a new star or something else that I don't really understand, isn't gonna influence me on the truth of Jesus, the God-man, dying for my sins and resurrecting and giving me new hope for eternal life. But I do see how some scientific principles and theories will help someone stay away from the faith if they are looking for a good reason to stay away from the faith. Actually, as I'm going to try to get here, the Einstein's theory of relativity is all wrapped in this question of the location of the Earth in the universe. He comes up with his theory of relativity, and just that very phrase that we hear a lot of times, maybe everything is relative, coming from Einstein's theory of relativity, is terribly illogically, irrationally applied to moral principles. If motion is relative, then certainly adultery should be relative, or murder should be relative. That makes no sense, but that's what many would like to. That's how some people's minds would look. They're looking for a good excuse, as it were. So we're going to go back here to the notes. Something that wrinkles my brain is Newton posited absolute space. Absolute space. Where if you don't have absolute space, you could never know what's up or down, left or right, north or south. Those terms, of course, make a lot of sense on the planet Earth. North is the direction towards the North Pole. South is the direction toward the South Pole, right? But out in space, when you're comparing planets and galaxies, one galaxy here, 2 billion light years away, or whatever they are, you're going to say there's no up and down, no left and right, no straight lines. That one really bugs me, because how could you not have a straight line, even if there is? I guess what Newton and cosmologists mean by absolute space is that there's a kind of a border to space, like a football field has a border. There's inbounds and out of bounds. A basketball court has borders, inbound and out of bounds. If you posit absolute space, that's kind of like saying it's not infinite space. There's an end to the universe. Now that blows my mind, because obviously the question would be, okay, when you get to that border, what's on the other side? And
wow.
So it does wrinkle
your brain. You just wrinkled my brain, man.
It does. So that's a theory. Maybe I'll try to learn a little bit more about that kind of stuff. Is maybe you're interested as well. Again, going back to the creative hand of God is certainly behind all of this. And it's interesting as a believer, because no matter what we discover, if we're going to discover it positively, and we get more and more knowledge of that big wide world out there, it just goes to my increased admiration for God's creative hand or creative work. Just like 1,000 years ago, they had no idea about blood circulating through veins. They knew there was blood, but they didn't know it's all intricate properties and the way it went through the heart and blah, 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 blah. Now that's basic knowledge for every nurse or medical school student, or just any of us secular people who cut their hand and see that blood comes out. Anyways, that there are new discoveries in this smaller realm of creation, like our human bodies, that's not going to change my faith and the idea that God is a creator now. So let the scientists, let the cosmologists do all their experiments and find out as much as they can. As they find it out, as they find it's true, I will just marvel at God's creation. But the question here is, with these new powerful telescopes, like the telescope on the Hubble spacecraft, you know, that's taking pictures beyond. And do you know that there's a satellite? I think there's two. I don't know if both of them. There's a satellite that is still transmitting data back to the Earth that has passed Pluto. So the last small planet, if you even call it a planet. Some people say it's not a planet, but I'll call it a planet. But there's a spaceship that has gone out beyond that. So it's not inconceivable that we put a Hubble telescope on a spacecraft and go past Pluto and keep taking pictures. We'll get even more interesting data. And so the reason the question of the location of the Earth in terms of the universe is coming up, because these powerful telescopes are giving data that are making the cosmologists scratch their head. They can't figure out this doesn't make sense. So here, let me try to say this here. There's another scientist by the name of Ernst Mach. I wonder if he's the guy that that we name the speed of sound, right? When an airplane is going Mach 4, it's going four times the speed of sound, right? Ernst Mach, he says we can only observe relative motion. There's no, in other words, when you're trying to, see the speed of something, again, in the universe, as opposed to a train passing by your car in front of you while you're standing still. But of course, that speed of the train passing in front of your standing still car, that speed is relative to your car standing still. If you were in another train that was going, these are all these those great mathematical problems, right? If two trains are going in parallel train tracks and one train is traveling at 50 miles an hour and the other is traveling at 100 miles an hour, that from the window of the train going 50 miles an hour, the train going 100 miles an hour will seem to be going 50 miles an hour, but it's going 100 miles an hour to the person standing still. Okay, so that's what it means by the same way. We can only observe relative motion. So this leads to our Earth in the center question, because part of what was making the cosmologists scratch their head is that they were trying to find out how fast is the Earth going. If the Earth is going around the sun, it makes sense to kind of figure out how fast is it going around the sun. There was a team of scientists called Michelson and Morley. Michelson and Morley tried to figure out how fast the Earth was going around the sun with kind of an experiment by shooting light waves. And if you know the speed of light and you know the distance it's going, you're going to be able to sort of sense the speed of the object moving, okay, so something like that. But anyways, they couldn't discover the speed of the Earth, because no matter how they did their experiments, they kept on coming back zero, which is really something crazy. So, but just on the topic of relative motion, this one always made my head scratch. What do you mean motion is always relative? Here's how it kind of light went off in my mind when I think of that, because this does seem to be something we experience quite a bit, right? We all know the feeling of spinning around. If you're just going to stand still, and you do like a ballerina, or sometimes a little child will put their hands out and spin around, right? They're spinning around. And the room that they're spinning around in is not spinning, but they're spinning. So if you were to take a camera, put one of those cameras on their heads, and they spin around, and you'd see, okay, now they're facing the fireplace, now they're facing the couch, now they're facing the outside window, now they're facing the kitchen table, now they're doing... You know what I'm saying? You'd observe the room as you're spinning around, that's the data points how long does it take for your sight to go from the fireplace to the kitchen table to the kitchen table to the den or the whatever. Okay, but take the other example. Let's say the same child had the same camera and the child was not spinning around in the room, but you made the room spin around. So the room starts to spin, kind of like in one of those carnival type things where you get in a room and the centrifugal force keeps you plastered against the wall and the floor drops out. Well, not exactly that, but if the the theory here is to have a stationary person looking, even recording it with a camera, pointing in one direction. You're standing still, but the room around you is spinning. Then you compared both videos. They would be the exact same thing. It would take just as long, obviously depending on how fast the child was spinning or how fast you made the room spin around them, but they'd look the same. And then I realized, you know, we have this kind of phenomenon when we say that the room is spinning around us. Sometimes if you're dizzy, you are dizzy because you spun around. Probably all done that with our nieces and nephews, grandchildren and what have you, or our children. Spin me around. You take their hands and you spin them around in the yard, and then what happens? You collapse and you fall down. But sometimes even if you're having balance trouble or ear trouble or whatever, you sense the room is spinning around. The room is spinning around me. I feel like the room is spinning. Well, obviously the room isn't spinning around, but you feel that it is. But these kinds of experiences that we have are applied then to the universe, our galaxies, and here. This attempt to measure the speed that the Earth goes around the sun, yielding the speed of zero, really made the scientists scratch their head. So what are you going to do? They're going to try to come up with a theory to explain the fact that they don't like. And the fact that they don't like is the fact that the Earth is going 0 miles an hour. Okay, how can you explain that? Oh dear, let's take our next break. I think we got one more break coming, right, Nick? I'll try to at least wrinkle your brain a little bit, whet your appetite. I don't know why this topic is so intriguing to me. Well, I guess I do. I know why it is, because I'm curious about the world we live in, and I would love it. I want to be just open to the fact that perhaps the Earth is the center of the universe. That would blow my mind away, and it would make me doubly believe, if you could say that, in the creative power of God. And the futileness, the silliness of trying to operate and explore the universe with the assumption that there is no God. I'd much rather explore the assumption that there is a God than to explore the universe assuming there is none, especially when so much data comes back flying in your face that makes you have to rethink your idea that there is no God. And that's what these scientists are doing. They're coming up with wild, crazy explanations. I'll try to end with at least the one that wrinkled my brain the most. Okay, Nick, let's take our final break here, okay? I'm Father Tom Coyes, guest host on The Winds of Change. You are listening to the AM 750 WNDZ. And
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located 1 block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule, work, or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church. It is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Try to wrap this up a little bit. There's no way I could wrap it up with just a couple of minutes left, but I think I opened up a can of worms here, I'm afraid. And I think it's worth it, though, and I think it's worth meditating, talking, kicking these ideas around, especially if you have a friend who's really into science and really against Catholicism. if you could dance on their dance floor for a little while and ask them a question that they can't answer, it's a very good thing. I like, instead of just saying you're silly or stupid, telling an astrophysicist that he's stupid is no good strategy. They'll just laugh at you. But if you could ask them a question about what's going on, here's a good question, because this leads to another one of the head scratchers. It's part of the cosmological crisis going on. Okay, so I mentioned Hubble before, that the telescope was named after astronomer Edwin Hubble. He was back in the 1920s, and he was the first kind of person that discovered more galaxies. Not only you look up at the sky and you see stars, but he said, hey, look up at the stars and you don't see stars, you see galaxies. And so obviously the question will be, oh, well, how far away are they? And that's there's something called the red shift. The red shift. And that's as you analyze the light, the farther the galaxies are away, the redder they get, because of the way light, bends through space, or not exactly how to explain that, but the farther. So as they're looking at all these new discovery of these different galaxies, the ones that are farther are getting redder. So what does that make you think? And no matter which way you point, whichever galaxy you are looking at, again, whether you're pointing your telescope up at the North Pole, the South Pole, the equator, left or right, there seems to be these galaxies that are farther and farther away. So if the one you're looking at is 10 billion light years away from the North Pole, and the one at the equator facing much different way is 10 billion light years away, you're thinking, wow, those are both the same age, and they're both moving away from the Earth. That sounds like the Earth is in the middle. That's exactly what some of the cosmologists were starting to say, but they said, no, that can't be. That's impossible. Anyways, I hope I wrinkled your brain a little bit, and a diversion into cosmology. Now it's the summertime. We get to look up at the stars. Anyways, as you look up in the stars, pray to the God in heaven. Don't ever ignore that God is over there watching us. He's the creator. And I'm Father Tom Coy's guest host on The Winds of Change. We are the New Evangelical Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland. We are WSFI 88.5 FM and WNDZ AM 750. See you next week. Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed. What's there to say when right from wrong?
become so obscure. It does not take that long, can you see?